come up and really discuss our invitation and our Pledge of Allegiance and welcome. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
And happy New Year.
Glad to be here.
Welcome.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here this evening. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings that we can be involved in the community, whether it's as a citizen, a business owner, a volunteer, employee, or as a government official. That we have so many freedoms as Americans. I pray for our mayor and for this council and for the agenda set before them this evening. I'm asking that you would grant them wisdom to govern wisely, clear discernment in each decision made to benefit Curry Beach, and the ability to work together in harmony. And as we close out this year, let there be a sense of success and encouragement to move this community forward in the upcoming year. It's in your most blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand with us. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would like to let everyone know that the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce had their 2016 annual membership dinner on Thursday, December the 1st, up at the aquarium. And the town of Curry Beach was very honored to receive this very, very nice award that says, in grateful appreciation to the town of Curry Beach for your continued dedication and support in all events sponsored by the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce 2016. And I'm going to ask our two Nancys if you will find a place out in our lobby to put that. Okay. And let's see. In addition to that, I believe we have a couple of officers with us tonight, and if one of you would mind coming forward, or both of you if you like. We also have an award for our police department, which says the same thing, in grateful appreciation to the Curry Beach Police Department for your continued dedication and support in all events sponsored by the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce 2016, and I hope you'll find that a really nice place to
put
that.
Oh yeah, all of us. Thank you.
Okay.
Are any of them here? Is anybody from the chamber here?
Oh, no, I don't.
Make sure you express our thanks.
Oh. We certainly will.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
I'll give that to work.
Yes, and stay.
You don't have to go.
Stay warm out there.
Thank you.
Okay. Approval of consent agenda items. Any discussion, changes, comments? Do I hear a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adoption of the regular agenda. Do I have any comments or questions or changes?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Discussion and consideration of persons. I don't believe we have anyone tonight.
Let me just make sure. I'm really off my game today. Okay, good.
We got somebody.
Can I ask a quick question? Oh. Are there copies of the agenda?
No. See, I told you I was off my game today.
Wow. Man.
I think the staff was hoping we would cancel the meeting, but
not quite that bad, but
And one of us would be, if any of us have it written, I'm sure we'd be glad to let you have it.
I don't have it written, but.
Just have
okay.
This up here.
Discussion wow. of committee business, the Board of Adjustment, Community Center. We do have the marketing committee with us tonight. And I had asked Debbie Elliott to please come and tell us about what's going on with marketing, because we had such very, very good news at our December meeting, and wanted her to share that with you.
Okay, well, I have two presentations this evening. One is about the results of the campaign. It's a bit lengthy, so I'm going to try to go through it fairly quickly, so just stop me if I'm going too fast. And because it's a PDF, I have to advance it, I think, from here. Is that correct, Nancy?
You can do that, or you can do it down with the arrow, either one. But yeah, you can do it there.
I can do this?
I think you can do just the arrow.
Aha! Okay. So campaign results. This is looking at the results from July to October of this year. And here's a summary of the creative. I think you've seen a lot of this before. This is the digital with the, you know, the nature unspoiled, thoughts uninterrupted, and different images of Kiri Beach. The print creative, of course, is very similar in format, relaxation undisturbed. And then the Facebook creative, Instagram was something that they really did quite a bit more of this go-around. And then the geographic footprint. This campaign was really focusing in-state, Triangle, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, and Fayetteville. The paid media timeline, that shows you what the buys were. Online was very consistent through July through November, print being heavier in September, October. In terms of what was spent, $44,600 spent on media between July 1st and October 31st, with the huge preponderance of that being online, then 15% in print, and 5% on e-specials. This just shows you a comparison of the spend in fall 2015 versus 16, $32,000 in last year, and then $44,600 this year. And that generated 38,534 total inquiries since July 1st of this year.
So that's just for one quarter, is that right?
That's okay. July through October, And you'll see that 86% of the inquiries were from online, and then 14% from e-specials and none from print. And that's pretty typical. Print is more about branding rather than getting people typically to pick up the phone or click through. And then it also shows our inquiries went up considerably from last year to this year, 31,915, 38,500 this year. So the online media mix is split up between paid search, paid social, email, pre-roll video, publisher display, and native advertising. And as you can see, the total inquiries by channel, the vast majority of them were from the online media, and then second was about 5,000 with the e-specials, print 18 and the other 13. Total inquiries by partner, and this is hard to see, but it goes through the paid search, the e-specials, and then it kind of breaks down from there versus, you know, on Facebook and so forth. The engagement metrics through Facebook and Instagram, we generated 9,530 total actions, like posts, likes, comments, image views, etc., and 479 unique leads at a cost-efficient $3.14 cost per lead. Yes?
Quick question, Debbie. Do we know how many of those contacts actually generate in an economic transaction, or is that's beyond our capabilities?
Yeah, it's beyond our capabilities.
Okay, I was just curious.
And then the online pre-roll video campaign produced 238,324 completed views at an 87% completion rate, which is really phenomenal. And that resulted in an efficient $0.02 per completed view. And pre-roll video campaign, you know, those little snippets that we have to watch before we get to watch the video that we really clicked on to see. then Madden Media delivered 1,467 total clicks to the Hidden Gems article at a rate of 0.31% click-through. Madden Media is the entity that the agencies use for what's called that native content. Content that kind of looks like it belongs there, but it's really paid advertising, and that's been very effective. So again, the cost of inquiry per channel. The e-special is the lowest at 45 cents each, online $1.14, and print, of course, ends up being like $364. So it averages out to $1.16 cost per inquiry. So the takeaways from that is that the online media continues to be the primary driver of inquiries in both quantity and efficiency. Narrowing the geographic focus to in-state travelers during the fall shoulder season appears to have a positive effect on engagement and media efficiency. We have such a small buy that diluting that beyond just our state ends up diminishing the value of all of it. So that really has a huge, I think that accounts for your better numbers this year, is that we're only doing it in-state, okay? The native placements like Madden Media continue to see great engagement with our audience and help satisfy the need to generate fresh content to remain top of mind among potential travelers. Paid search ads are playing a more pivotal role now more than ever as organic searches, especially in the travel and tourism industry, continue to be pushed further down the first page of results. Any questions about that? Okay. All right. This goes a little bit more into the background of the results, the goals and objectives to drive visitation from select cities and top out-of-state feeder markets with later school start dates to Curry Beach during the early summer and late summer time frames, both of which have historically low occupancy rates. Also to target the beginning of June and end of August as best kept secrets when it comes to summer vacation planning. Strategies: increase awareness of Curry Beach as an ideal destination for beginning of summer and end of summer vacations. Reinforce key messaging by working with top tier bloggers in target cities to secure sponsored content. Increase the reach of social media content through a series of geo-targeted promoted posts. So the media results. We secured two sponsored posts during this time frame from Sweet Sauce Blog. It's a lifestyle blog based in Richmond, and Philly Voice, which is a blog covering news, sports, and culture based in Philadelphia. Social media results. We posted multiple end of summer messages on each destination's social media pages. 3-week Facebook ad campaign focused on motivating travel during the last 2 weeks in August. It did drive qualified traffic from out-of-state feeder markets with later school start dates by the applicable website landing pages. Paid social media results. I'm not going to go into all the details of all of this, but so the recap is for the paid social media, it resulted in more click-throughs to the site from women than men, which aligns with historic performance results. Richmond and Philadelphia ads saw more interaction from ages 55 to 64, indicating that the campaign better resonated with an older audience. Fairfax, however, experienced more engagement from ages 35 to 54. Richmond was a top performing market, receiving the most clicks to the site at the lowest rate per click. Social media. Total social subscribers, 38,289. It breaks down the fans on Facebook, followers on Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, and Instagram. And you'll see the percent increase since July 1st is 1.9, 5.5, 3.5, 1.6, but 50.6% on Instagram. So that's had a phenomenal growth. Fan breakdown by city, 91% of fans are outside of the immediate area, 9% are local. For social media impressions, we had 539,775 organic social media impressions and 560,000 paid social media impressions.
What do you mean by impressions?
Click-throughs, likes, you know, anything that's measurable.
So if they just click from one to the other.
Yeah, you know, when you're on Facebook and you click, you like something, or you click something to kind of open it up so you can see it more, or you click through, any kind of engagement with the site, or you know, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, like if they're retweeting something, or Instagram, you know, if they're clicking on that. Okay. So that's what an impression is.
Because more than 500,000 sounds like a lot.
Well, there are 35,000 users.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And they measure, you know, they measure every wherever your mouse is going, they're measuring it.
Okay.
So 15 clicks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I was going backwards. And then this breaks it down by, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Average monthly engagement rate, 4.3% average Facebook engagement rate for Curry Beach. And the industry average is 0.73%, so that's really great. 1.8% average Twitter engagement rate for Curry Beach, and the industry average is 0.7. So the good news is that what's being put out there is really engaging people to interact. YouTube views a total of 467. Hashtag tracking, July through October. Total number of times hashtag Curry Beach was used was 3,381 times, which again is great. Link clicks, can't see what it's saying down there, but. Okay, so the takeaways from this. Images used for posts consisted mainly of user-generated content, which focused on highlighting the destination in real-time context. Meaning, you know, if I'm hanging out on the beach and I'm a visitor and I post something to Facebook and I do hashtag Curry Beach, that's user-generated content, which works really well. Content about Curry Beach accolades is very popular. Encouraged engagement with posts utilizing user-generated content and video content. Average monthly engagement actions remained consistent to last year's results, indicating that content continued to resonate with followers. Increased focus on Instagram paid off in terms of popularity and growth of that channel. Continued to extend the reach of popular posts via promoted posts on Facebook. And public relations, the agency did one press release about fall fishing combined with Carolina Beach. Two-story angle pitches on Curry Beach being military-friendly and the park centennial, and 19 earned placements. The result of those efforts, 19 earned placements, 11 in print, 1 on broadcast, and 7 online. 47 million impressions, $67,000 ad value, $201,000 PR value, and a 32-to-1 return on investment. So some of the print placements, Wake Living Magazine, Southern Living, High Point Enterprise, Winston-Salem Monthly, Our State, broadcast placement in our RAL in Raleigh, and online placements in a variety of media, such as Military Living, Army Wife, About Travel, AJC.com, etc. So the insights for PR is pitching less well-known information and best-kept secrets is of interest to multiple outlets. Many target publications do themed roundups for specific seasons and or events. Editorial-style pitches, including itineraries and lists, continue to be popular. Writers are leaning more and more towards stories that include the entire destination, not just Curie Beach, you know, our whole area. Building relationships with key freelancers is more important than ever. Military travel to Curie Beach is of particular interest to niche publications and outlets.
But I think one of the things I was really, really impressed with was that we're getting a 32-to-1 return on investment. I'm very, very proud of our ROT people for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
When I think about that, since we can't really tie the two, that is impressive. Something is making it grow, but what I think is pretty impressive, 36,000 users, 560,000 impressions, that's 15, 16 hits per. And I think most people really lose, you know, your attention before you're 16 deep into starting something. So I think, that, to me, that's the most impressive fact that I saw up there.
Yeah.
says something's going right.
I think in my opinion, they're doing a phenomenal job with a limited budget, and they're spending the money wisely in the places where it's working, which is primarily online. Okay, so Nancy, how do I get out of here and into the other one? So the next thing that I'm going to be presenting is a proposal. This is the proposal for the rollover dollars, and we're going to look at the parameters of the campaign, the channel IDs, and then of course the budget. So the parameters of this campaign, the objective is to increase consideration of Puri Beach among in-state travelers while raising awareness of the destination among key out-of-state markets and key cities. So the geographic split for this is going to be 60% spend in-state and 40% out-of-state. And the timing of the campaign is February 1 through May 21st. Okay, so in terms of where this is going to focus on, the primary market is in-state, the Triangle, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, Fayetteville. And the secondary markets would be Richmond, Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Myrtle Beach, Baltimore, Charleston, West Virginia, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Lexington, Kentucky. So these are what they call the different channels, you know, the buckets where the money's going to be spent. Some in influencer, some in social, some in native media, some in publisher, and some in existing media, and I'll explain those a little bit further. So the monies will be spent 25% for influencers, 25% native, 15% social, 15% publisher, and 20% in existing media. So influencers basically are bloggers. 92% of people trust recommendations from individuals, even if they don't know them, over the brands themselves. So what you're doing is you're spreading your brand content from your partner website and social channels like Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and so forth, and you know, you're spreading it out over into the influencers, and they're spreading it back. Influencers spread your brand content across their social channels. So we're not only promoting ourselves on our own Facebook, but we're getting other people who write about travel and tourism on their blogs to promote it with theirs as well. So here's a case study of an influencer campaign. So the objective was to increase awareness of Virginia Beach as a year-round destination, provide travel ideas and itineraries for family trips, and to generate social buzz for the region and hashtag visit Virginia Beach. Results, 6 influencers traveled to Virginia Beach. They shared over 60 photos on Instagram, and 5 tweeted their journeys. Live tweeted their journeys, generated more than 8 million impressions from a total of 230 social media posts. Virginia Beach content received over 1.5 million page views, with users spending an average 3+ minutes on the page. So that was hugely successful. So this is what we're suggesting that we do with iExplore. Leverage key influencers in the travel category to promote the destination and encourage word of mouth sharing within their social networks. Utilize influencer networks to distribute and share content in an effort to establish brand goodwill and favorability among a devout following. So the program details, targeting 1 social media influencer, 30 social media posts, 2 in-house articles, and an added value website display of budget of $15,000. So native content is the other channel that they're proposing. Consumers interact with native ads 20 to 60% more than they do with standard banner ads. Native display reaches consumers in a way that is less intrusive than standard display. That's why people interact. So here's a case study of a San Francisco campaign. The objective was to reach people who have signaled intent to visit San Francisco, to drive them to travel stories and content on sftravel.com, and to convince them to book for a stay of 3 days or more. So the approach was to identify groups interested in topics like holiday travel and food tourism, engaged them with colorful native advertising from DoublePlay, and the results were 100, I think that's 1,662% more bookings than their previous campaign, a 92% decrease in cost per acquisition. So again, a very successful campaign. So our agency is proposing doing a program with a company called Sojourn, and the objective is to promote unique benefits and more attractions of the destination in a less intrusive environment by leveraging programmatic native networks to provide relevant targeting and cost efficiency. So we do that with programmatic native display, comprehensive travel targeting, YouTube, TrueView video ads, and post-impression travel summary, the budget of $15,000. The other channel is social media. Facebook's average click-through rate is 92% higher than standard display advertising. Canvas provides an immersive full-screen experience to connect users with your brand. So Facebook Canvas is like a tool on Facebook that they're proposing to use. Case study is World Caribbean case study. The objective here was to reach a qualified audience and to build awareness of its newest ship, Harmony of the Seas. The approach was to develop a Canvas ad that paired amazing stats about the ship size, staff, and amenities, paired with beautiful panoramic images and exciting video clips. The results, users spent an average of 72 seconds with the content, and the average cost per action taken was an efficient 17 cents. So the sample program with Canvas that we're proposing is, the objective is to raise awareness and promote engagement with Facebook's rich media offering, test the unit's effectiveness through the measurement of engagement metrics such as likes, shares, time spent with unit, and video completion percentage. Program details, an immersive unit featuring image, carousels, and video, highlight destination attractions and scenic beauty, leverage Facebook's comprehensive targeting, and drive interested travelers to the destination site. Budget $9,000. Publisher, this is addressing the rental industry. Nearly 60% of respondents reported plans to stay in vacation rentals in 2015. So this is proposing advertising on HomeAway, which is the rental industry leader. Sample program, the objective is to reach vacation rental audiences through standard display on HomeAway.com, promote destination attractions and beautiful scenery. The program details include a standard website to display banners, geographic and audience targeting, and an optional email campaign for a budget of $9,000. And then we're also going to be working with some existing media, working with what's already planned, and the objective is to capitalize more on early bookings, provide consistency throughout the spring shoulder season, and their approach is to shift existing media to start the first week of February and invest in key media partners to extend flight through April and May. So the partners we're talking about are Facebook, Instagram, weather triggered display, and network pre-roll video. And you can see there where it's saying, you know, to start the Facebook, Instagram earlier into February, and then to extend the online pre-roll timetable both earlier and later than what had originally been planned. So the objective is to capitalize more on early bookings, provide consistency throughout the spring shoulder season. The approach is to shift existing media to start first week of February. Oh, I got it backwards. I'm like, I already said that. Sorry. So here's the budget recap, y'all. The influencer marketing program, where we're targeting travel and tourism bloggers, is $15,000. The programmatic native display is $15,000. The Facebook Canvas display is $9,000. Publisher buy with HomeAway is $9,000, and the extending of already planned media is $12,000 for a total budget of $60,000.
Nancy, do we have a copy of this so we could read it later or anything?
No, but we have it right on here. I'm going to just forward it to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, can I ask a question? The last slide part of this one said that the existing thing was $10,000. This one says 12. When I was adding it up, I came up to 58 rather than 60.
That's an error then. It's probably an error on
the I don't know if this should be 10 or if the other page should be 12.
I'm pretty sure that that should be 12.
Yeah, this doesn't say existing plan media. It says extending our plan media.
But it's basically, you could read that as extending existing plan media. Mm-hmm. It should be 12. I mean, that, I can't tell you with 100% assurance, but
I'm, need to check it.
Yeah, that needs to be checked. That's a good point.
Thank you, John.
Any questions?
What is the vet total value of the reserve? Is that the total reserve, 60,000? That you want to spend all the reserve? Are we spending 80% of the reserve, or?
I think it's the whole.
The whole reserve.
We have to spend it.
Well, what we've done in the past is we've actually deferred 10% to roll.
Well, then if that's 25%. What you've done historically, then and again, I apologize. I should know the answer to that, but that's a Sean question.
And they set aside 25% at the beginning of the fiscal year,
yes,
to reserve. But a lot of this involves the money that was rolled over from last year that we didn't expect to get. And that they have to go in and spend.
Right, yeah, we're mandated to spend it, as you all know.
They do a very conservative estimate. And then they overperform, which gives them money, which is a rollover money. If they did a unconservative estimate, right, then we wouldn't have any rollover money. So, I mean, it's really a good way to put the money into the seasons, like the shoulder seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding, and again, I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that y'all are going to vote on this to approve it because it does need to be approved pretty quickly in order for them to be able to execute that for February starts.
So when does it have to be approved by? Because it wasn't on our agenda.
Mm-hmm. So we can vote on it next month, and this will give you guys time to look at it and ask questions and all.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Then
you can square up the
needs.
10,000 versus 12,000 issue as well.
Last year was the direction on a rollover was 10%, right?
I think that's what we did.
I think that's what the
And I think they allowed us to do that. They had to send us a letter or something about doing that, right?
Yeah. Now the intent of the rollover was in case we have a storm.
Well, that's
so we have available cash to really dump into saying, hey, we're okay.
Yeah, but that's what their 25% is to begin with. And frankly, I don't think this year, I don't think we asked for that 10% like we did the 2 years before.
I've always been confused about the holdback because I don't know whether that 10% accrues on an annual basis.
No, it doesn't.
So that's why I'm always confused about it. It's like we hold back 10, but then we have to spend it at some point because we can't bank it because we're not allowed to, right?
Right.
Isn't that the law?
Right. Right. And the 10% is not something that's typical with ROT. It's just about 3 years ago, the council decided to do that, and we did that 2 years in a row, and I don't think we did that this year.
Well, I'm only speaking as myself. I'm not speaking for the marketing committee at all.
But I
think holding anything back when we have a budget that's this big is not fiscally prudent, in my opinion. I've never understood it. I think that the amount of money y'all are holding back in terms of what it's going to really be able to do for the town of Curry Beach is so nominal compared to what it could do for marketing. But again, that's my personal professional opinion, not the marketing committee.
Could you check on that for us?
Whether 10% is being held back again?
Yeah, with the TDA people, with our representative.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Thank you.
It's an ongoing thing.
Well, the 25% is regular ongoing. 10% is something this council came up with on their own.
Beach, right?
Yes.
Well, it's Curie and Carolina.
Well, Carolina Beach did.
But their budget is so much bigger than ours, so it's apples and oranges. But okay.
If you would,
I would.
Thank
be happy.
You. I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation, Planning and Zoning.
I'll go
quick items from our December meeting. You had asked Mr. Batson to present to P&Z the development line for the town. He did that in a great way, we thought. We had a discussion about it. We did not take a formal position or a vote on it. We didn't think you would ask us to do that, but we did listen and discuss the issue with Mr. Batson. And so that's where we are. And then I know we presented a couple months ago a draft, and the council approved it later on an ordinance dealing with hens being allowed in the town. Mm-hmm. And so we began looking at other livestock and exotic animals. We had an extremely lively discussion on that without any town input. It was just the committee and our council representative and our committee attorney in this suit. Very lively discussion. We are not ready to present something tonight by any means, maybe not even in January, but we'll try. It's on our January agenda. Put more thought into an ordinance dealing with livestock and exotic animals.
Is there a particular reason why you're doing that? I don't remember us asking for that, but is there a particular reason?
No, well, no. Except for, we brought it up on our own. Hens came up, and we thought, well, should we get ahead of this issue on other animals that are not considered pets? I mean, there is ordinance dealing with dogs and cats and their litter that they make and that type of thing. But there is not an ordinance for this town with regard to a horse, a cow, wild turkey, any type of turkey, those types of things, rabbits, exotic rabbits, animals, reptiles, poisonous or otherwise. So we started crafting a draft ordinance to deal with that.
Is there county regulations around that? Did you guys look? I'm just interested. I don't know if right. there are or not, but I was just interested, right? Are there county... I know there's some county ordinances about sawdust.
There is a state ordinance.
Though. State ordinance, okay. I'd just be interested, when you bring it to us, I'm interested in what's already in place for the county or the state, personally, before we talk about what
attorney
community
didn't mention
any. No,
he
didn't.
But if
I
you
did
would
some
ask
research him. Throughout the, there's one website, it has, I'll use the phrase, a synopsis of their livestock exotic ordinance in, you know, Texas, and six or seven lines.
Right.
And North Carolina does have a write-up in that. And it's interesting because you think of a place like Texas with their cattle and all that kind of stuff, and big ranches and everything. So there are many, many states, probably all states have at least some state
right.
Okay. dealing with livestock.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, like David said, maybe check to see what
sure.
kind of county ordinances
sure.
we have. And I noticed there was only like one sentence on exotic animals. If you talk about what the definition
yes,
of that would be.
We have talked about that. I also did some research into that. And the sentence in the draft that we had, that we talked about at our meeting, said no exotic animals will be allowed in the town of Cherry Beach. However, there are many animals that out there in the public Wi-Fi land are classified as exotic that are not dangerous. There's a little thing called a fennec, F-E-N-N-E-C, fox, which is about this big. But it's considered an exotic animal. It has the name fox in it. It's wild, if you will. It's not, it can be cuddled. It won't necessarily bite you, but it's not a dog or a cat. some dogs and cats bite you also.
I guess my biggest concern is how any of this would be enforced. You know, how would you even know people? Are we going to make John go door to door to find out if people have exotic animals? And if a child has a turtle or an iguana or a macaw from
somebody has monkeys
coastal, you know, Costa Rica, are you going to tell that child they have to get rid of it? We have a family with two monkeys. I don't know anybody on the street who's even seen them because they don't go outdoors.
How
would you enforce all that?
We have discussed. Okay. I'm not a big fan, and I said this at the meeting, in writing an ordinance or some type of legislation that just by the sheer signature creates criminals. You know, if you say you can't have this and 14 people have it, then you've made them lawbreakers just by signing that piece of legislation. I'm not a big fan of that, John L.
Thank you.
You can write in there that there's a certain amount of time that if you have one of these animals, you can apply for a permit and meet certain things. If you're going to have certain types of animals, just like the hens, have a designated amount of room to run and have their coop and that type of thing. You would have that for livestock, just like the hens are restricted to the backyard. Other livestock would be restricted to the backyard. Now, most, if not all, ordinance from my research that talk about the different sizes of livestock need so much to be kept in a friendly environment. You can't keep a horse on a 50 by 100 lot if you've already designated that the house is taking up 60 or 70% of it, the front yard and the two side yards take up the rest, and now you've got a backyard about the size of, not even as big as this room. You can't keep a horse in that type of environment. So I think horses would not be allowed. You can get some small livestock, and we do, in our draft, restrict you from doing livestock as a business. So we have to get a business license. We don't have business out in the neighborhoods. So you
do
can't
you
raise
really,
pigs.
Yeah, do you really see this becoming an issue in Kerry Beach?
I don't think so, man.
Kerry Beach has had horses before.
What if somebody buys three lots and decides they want to do something?
Kerry Beach has had horses so before.
That's why they're trying to plan ahead in case something comes up.
I don't think if you look at this, I mean there could be value to checking it. I like the idea of maybe registering or getting a permit so you're aware if there's any unusual animals in town, boa constrictors or whatever.
When I was a little girl, whenever there was a box turtle in the yard, I got to keep it in a box in the house till my mother couldn't take it anymore. Is that an exotic animal? Would a child have to get a permit every time they brought a box turtle in the house? I mean, what are the limits on this?
I think that's
why they're still talking about it, right? Yeah. So he said they weren't ready for it to be the council. He's just giving us a heads up. I think council can think about it and give them feedback, but he's not bringing a proposal to council. He's saying we're talking about it, which I think is wise.
Yeah.
From my standpoint, if someone bought two lots in the old part of town and decided on one of them they're going to keep two horses, and people started complaining about the smell of horses in the middle of N Street, council needs to be ready for that. Because it just takes one rich person to buy two or three lots and knock down a house and put a horse in it, and then we're behind it, which I think is his point. Or they decide they want two cows because they want fresh milk, or whatever. And that would be a significant change to the town. There have been horses kept on Davis Avenue in Kerry Beach before. There were two horses back there. Mike Robertson's first wife had them. There were ordinances put on the book, which I think probably disappeared with all the rest of them, that horses couldn't walk on the streets in Curie Beach because they were messing up the pavement. So while you may think it's not a real thing, it has happened in Curie Beach before, and so P&Z discussing it is a realistic thing to do. Where they end up, I don't know. And I think it's an interesting discussion because I'm not sure where I am on it, right? If I had the money and wanted horses for my son, I might want to be able to do that. So I don't know where I am, but I'm fine with them talking about it. It's exactly what they should be talking about. Just like when we talked about the modular homes or whatever else, right? There wasn't one built in Curie Beach. We put an ordinance in place before it happened, which is probably the best way to go. And I think I like that P&Z is looking ahead for stuff like that.
Well, I never said that it wouldn't be a real thing. My biggest concern, again, is having ordinances on the books that we don't have the staff to enforce. And so just please take a serious, serious look at how it would be enforced and who would be responsible for it, and talk about how time-consuming that could become.
To me, just a real quick, ma'am, on an enforcement, I walk in somebody's house and they open the door and say, let me show you my rattlesnake. I call the police, animal control, or possibly you, and say, do we not have an ordinance against poisonous critters being kept? And I know poisonous critters don't live around here.
Yes, they do. All types of things exist. Yeah.
But they shouldn't be kept in the town, by the town residences or the vacation.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Have fun.
Thanks, John.
I talked to John yesterday, and in the course of conversation, he said he'd have the beach material ready for us next month.
On the development line? Okay. Cool. Okay, good. Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee?
Nothing to report this month.
Okay, thank you. Non-town committee reports. Okay, I'm going to make a request, and if all of you disagree, that's fine. At our January meeting, I would really like for a representative from each one of our committees to give us a very, very brief update of what you've done so far the first half of the fiscal year, if you have any, you know, accomplishments. We know the community center over there. We know they had a barbecue. I don't know anything about how successful, how much money they made, what they used the money for. I know nothing about that or other things that they do. So it'd be really nice if we could have a representative talk about what have you accomplished so far this year, because you know we have budget sessions we'll be talking about that are coming up. And what plans do you have for the second half of the year? Are we going to be able to put sea oats on the beach this spring like we usually do, especially since we had to skip last year? Is there, obviously, the Planning Commission's looking at livestock and exotic animals. Any committee that you work with, but also the outside committees. Some of these we never, ever, ever hear from. And so, Nancy, I would really appreciate it if you would notify our representative for each one of them and ask them to either attend or give us a write-up on, for example, our ADA committee. I know the woman goes to every meeting that they have. I know she got involved in some things we were thinking about on the beach, but it would be nice to know what exactly does that committee do? Did they have any big accomplishments, especially that she may have been involved in so far this year? Because if it's a committee, and I think we found one a few years ago, that absolutely accomplished nothing, and having a representative was meaningless, and we have one that doesn't even meet anymore that I think we have a representative for, and it doesn't even exist anymore. So give us an idea about, has that committee been disbanded?
The anniversary committee too.
Yes, and a report from our anniversary committee about how that's coming along. What if they're
all about.
And one of the other ones that, sewer authority. I know you guys must be doing strange and wonderful things, but it would be nice to know, you know, maybe what you have planned for the rest of the year, just to give those of us who aren't involved in each one of those committees what's happening with it.
I'm not totally sure on the number. I'm wondering if maybe we ought to divide it in half. I don't know how long that might be.
That would be fine. Why don't we do our regular committees in January in order to get ready for the budget sessions, and then do the outside committees in February.
Like ADA.
I know
others,
we've had some ports and water. We've had some really good things come before them that maybe those of you who don't always get to attend may not be aware of some of the things that committee's been working on. Just kind of educate those of us who aren't involved in those committees. Would that be okay with you guys? Okay. Consideration of department head business, administration, and recreation.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I have on your agenda consideration of a date for council retreat. Actually, I should ask you first if you intend to hold a retreat or want a retreat in 2017. Traditionally, council has held one, usually sometime late January or early February before we start going into budget talks. I've suggested 3 dates. So I just need to know your pleasure.
Will the department has to be ready by January 24th?
Yes, can be.
Okay. Is the 24th okay with everyone else?
Why is it always a Tuesday?
Doesn't have to be. Do you want
it doesn't to have that? To be. It's just with scheduling of the community center and when we can get in and set up.
Is there a better day of the week for you, Joe?
Different day.
I'm just asking.
Okay.
Sure. Tuesday.
They are.
Three Tuesdays in a row. What?
It's because Keto meets Tuesday night. And if it's Wednesday, then we can't get in there until 7:30 in the morning to set up. So it's selfish. It's all about me.
I understand.
Very smart.
And this will be an all-day meeting.
Typically, they end up being all day.
Are we starting at 7 or 8 or 9?
Whoa.
I'm fine with either of those three.
Or 30.
For those of us who keep waking up at 5 o'clock, 7 is great, but maybe not so much.
We normally start at 8 o'clock, don't we?
Yeah,
almost starting time.
8 o'clock fine. Is the 24th okay, everyone?
Any day's fine.
24th okay? 1:24, 8 o'clock.
And what time?
8.
24th at 8 o'clock.
Yep. Y'all want to just go ahead and make a motion for that?
I make a motion we have it at 8 a.m. on the 24th at the community center.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Thank you, ma'am.
And then we'll have a couple of other retreats as the months go on, right, Nancy? Because we'll have
retreats.
One that our committees can come and appear on for what they would like to do, what they might need money for, and then some that for
that's what this typically is.
Nonprofits. We don't do all of that at the first one, do we? I thought usually Arlen gives a summary of what's going on in finance and with the budget and what his proposals are.
It's really up to council what do you want to do at the retreat. I mean, in the past, last couple of years, the committees have not come as part of the retreat. They've just submitted something in writing to the finance officer that I think is discussed in the first round of the budget talks. So it's really, again, what do you want to spend, and that'll be the next thing I'm coming to you, asking what do you want to spend a day or 2 days or however long doing that retreat. Do you want to hear from each department head? Do you want to hear from each committee? What would you like to do?
When you send that out, you'll send out what we did for past agendas, right? So we can look at that?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Good idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll good that. Idea. Okay. Finance department on vacation. Building department. Fire department. Police department. Public works department. All business. Our monkey survey.
Yep. So I met with Susan on December the 8th. And really the concerns that I brought up to council about this was not for the questions on the survey, which I thought were really good, but more the how are we going to make sure that we're not getting either packing, which is where one person takes 10 surveys to skew the survey results, or racing, which is where people open the survey and just race through, not really answering it seriously, but just to get through the survey, right? Those are the two issues that her and I discussed in depth, right? And so we kind of resolved, or we kind of proposed, here's how we would solve those issues, right? So one is the survey will be, there'll be two paths of the survey. One is using our email distribution list, which is over 1,000 people now, right, Nancy?
Yes.
Right, so sending it out as an email distribution. So that's one path, and the other is putting it on our website as a survey. And then treating those separately and comparing the results of those two. So what that does is kind of lets you validate that we're getting the right answer, right? If the two of them are skewed on a specific question, you can look in the details. The second thing is for racing, within the survey, if you phrase one or two questions properly, basically in the details of the question, answer D on this question is in the buried in there, and someone going through too fast doesn't see that, they'll eliminate themselves because any that they didn't answer that question with, the answer you told them, you throw those surveys out, right? Or at least look at them, right? So review them more in detail. And then, oh, I'm sorry, I thought someone was asking. And then finally, we'll do an analysis of the surveys for the whole packing thing to see if there are surveys that there's enough questions in our survey. In the end, there's like 35 questions. Three of them are actual verbiage answers, and the other 32 are actual multiple choice or something like that, true, false. We'll look at those for overlap, and if all of the answers on those 33 are the same, then we'll look at the comments to see if they look like they're the same or not, right? And that'll be a little more intensive because I would imagine there'll be some that'll do that according to how many surveys. And what Susan and I talked about is we probably need a third person to be the arbiter of that, right? So Susan and I will be two of those people, looking for someone from council that would be interested to be the third, so that when we discuss those, you know, if we deadlock, you can't deadlock with three people, right? So it's better to have three people doing something like it.
I'll do it.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, if council's okay with that proposal, then I think we'd like to send them out. She's in France right now. She should be back in the next few weeks, and we'd like to send it out in January. And the last question is, how long does council think we should have the surveys out for?
30 days.
That's what I thought, about a month. But I wanted to ask council that and get approval to send them out sometime in January when she's back and ready, and then let people know that they're open for 30 days, either on our website or via the email distribution list.
I know she does this a lot for the university. Did she have any recommendations about what a good length of time is?
She didn't say. I mean, you know, hers are all more controlled than ours are. I've done them through Corning, but it's all internal to Corning people, and I can, like, beat people up about not getting surveys. It's a lot different when you do this out to the general public. I mean, her and I couldn't really define a good time frame, right? So Joe said 30 days. I think you can send out multiple times via email, but the one that's on our website in January, how many people are looking at our website? I don't know, right? I mean, we just had the marketing team talk about it a little bit, but if we're not getting enough input in 30 days, you can always extend it, right? With SurveyMonkey, you don't have to put a deadline. You just keep collecting information. if we make it too long, then we won't have the information available for any of our decisions in the budget process.
Well, we can set a date, and if we don't get enough response, just extend it.
That's
so
right.
I think 30 days is...
Yeah, we can look at it, and we can bring to council, here's what we've got so far. That's exactly right.
So hopefully it would be ready to bring to the February council meeting.
If we got it out in the first week of January, at least a preview.
Okay. Okay. Let me comment on what Debbie was talking about earlier. That has nothing to do with the town's website. The website and everything they're doing is all through Visit Curie Beach.
Right.
And so let me ask our two Nancys. Do we have any numbers on how many people visit our website every month? Or?
Oh, I probably can get that off of our MailChimp information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But, it just depends, because a lot of times it's the news item. You know, they get that email, and they probably just glance at the heading.
Well,
the heading looks interesting.
Yeah,
can we send out individual emails? If the survey's active, then maybe a reminder every week?
That's actually what goes out to our...
Yeah, 7,000
plus.
I get them every Monday at 12.
Yep. Well, we're planning on sending the survey out via the email, and you'll just link in there. That'll be the email.
But a constant reminder.
Right.
This is open until this day.
Right.
That would be good. That would be
maybe
good.
Maybe we could say something to the chairman of the committees if they're meeting in January have the committees vote during the committee meeting or something, just to make sure they get it done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, John.
Did y'all make an estimate of how many you would be happy with getting back? And before you answer that question, or just think about it, when I was involved, it was with the MPO, and they did a survey for the Tri-County area. They were hoping for 4,000 respondents out of the number of people that live in Pender, Brunswick, and New Hampshire. And we got about 4,200, and they were ecstatic. So if we only have 1,000 or so households, I don't know how many you think you might be happy in getting back. 50%, 2%?
There's a statistical model for up to 99% accuracy, right? We just have to look at what that would be.
Right.
I don't know what the number is, but there is a model. That's a good point, John.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't email those to all the residents.
Right.
It was available on their websites. It was available as handouts at the different metro stops. And they went to town halls. We advertised it here and asked people. And I had some copies of it. But I'm just saying, as many people that live in these three counties, they only got a little over 4,000.
I think that might be a good thing to look toward, but it also brings up another one on our water bills. Would it be possible for our January water bills to put a sentence on there about town survey available, either website or however, whatever the connection to the...
We don't have much.
That's okay. Very short one.
25 characters,
30
characters.
Very short one to say, check town website or town survey. Maybe that would help also, because my experience in doing surveys over the years is a lot of it depends on your connection with the people and how many times and how well you connect. And
$10 if you don't do it.
And I know it's going to be difficult if you have four people in a household and all four of them have a different email address and all four of them respond from one household as opposed to ours, where ours has two people but one email address, then are we looking at a household response or are we looking at an individual response?
The way the survey is proposed, it would be by device, so you have to do it on a separate device. That's the only way it's limited. Mm-hmm. So if everyone has a cell phone, and there's five people in the house, they can do five responses. Now, you can separate it by resident versus visitor, assuming they answer that properly. That's the whole issue that I brought up last month about validation of a survey, right? So in the end, council's going to have to decide how worthwhile the data is. There is statistical models on what's a valid number of responses. And, you know, her and I discussed whether you should have to put your address down or not. Her input was not. I go back and forth. But the issue is, in the end, the council's got to decide with this survey how much to take advantage, you know, how much it should influence any council decisions. My personal opinion is it'll be one more data point, but it's not going to be a sole data point. But I'm a representative type person, not a democracy type person anyway, so it's all according to how you are. If you believe that every one of your decisions should be influenced by people voting on it, and you see the survey as a vote thing, then you can take it that way. But I would not encourage any other councilman to take it that way. It's a data point. And once we get the data, we should say, is this statistically valid, which is Jim's point and John's point. I can tell you the math of that. And then the second point is, do what they say in the survey turn into council actions? That's for council to decide for themselves with any survey. So if someone takes a survey and thinks it's going to make me decide something from the town because 80% of the people say something should happen for the town, that's not how I'm going to vote necessarily, but they're welcome to believe that. Each councilman can use the data how they want to use it. That's how it should be. So I'll tell you statistically accurate or not, though, at the end when we have the data. I don't know right now.
And I believe we have approximately 2,100 residents, depending on who you talk to at what period of time. Not sure how many of those are under the age of 18 or children who aren't old enough to use a computer at all. But
don't you come out of the womb using a computer?
You do now. So I personally would love to see a 60-70% response from that 2,100, but if we got a 50% response, I think it would be excellent. Not sure how
if
many,
you paid people $20, I don't think you could get 50% response.
Actually, the way it works is there is a statistical model that says if you get, I don't know, maybe it's 8% or something, and it's completely random, it would give you a 99% accuracy, or 97% accuracy.
Yeah.
Well, I did a survey many, many years ago on the most important environmental issue in the state of North Carolina that went out to the leadership, business, I mean, the main leaders in this state, and I had a 67% response. Mm. But it all has to do on how you contact people. You know, what you do to talk them into answering and how they feel, how serious the issues are, that their input is worthwhile. And I think as long as we make them understand that, I think all of us believe what the people think in this town, it's worthwhile to listen to, regardless of what our actions are. Then hopefully they will respond. Sir?
Do you plan to publish the results?
Oh, definitely. Well, for one thing, you know, this is open government. We're not going to hide them.
Once you do that, going back to Mr. Hagler's comment regarding this, because a lot of people in the town think we should do something, that doesn't mean, one, it may be smart, and two, it may not be the way Mr. Hagler thinks.
Well, I'm not saying my way is right. No, that's not what I said.
I didn't mean that.
Okay. I just said that.
Once that's published, we come into a town hearing and they say,
okay,
82% of the town thinks we ought to do this. Why are you five not agreeing?
And you know, John, that's when it's up to us to explain this either is not economically feasible. we would have to hire additional staff and raise your taxes in order to make this feasible. I think it's up to us to educate the town if 80 to 90% of the respondents say you need to do this and we say no. It's up to us to educate our residents as to why we say no.
Fully agree. Fully agree. I'm just saying.
That's our job, whether we like it or not.
Cautious. You've got to get some of that heat.
But at the same time, you know, with the open laws in this state, you don't do things and then hide them. So. So.
That's all I have for time.
Okay. So this should be fun. Thank you for doing all of that, David. I appreciate it.
Well, Susan's doing all the work. I'm just helping.
Okay, new business. There's nothing on the agenda. Mayor updates. Don't know of anything in particular. Commissioner items.
I've got an item. I'd like to thank Sonny Beaker, Director of Public Works, and his crew for what they did down at the park for the Christmas show.
Oh, yes.
And also thank the people that put on the show for a job well done again. And I'm tickled to death that the park was used and successfully at a project that large.
Well, I'd like to add to that just the wonderful job that Public Works did this year with lighting of the town.
You could see that from space.
It's beautiful, and it's not just a hodgepodge, but it really is beautiful. And I think they did an excellent job this year. Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Did have one item. I guess all of you know, but we didn't have anything on building inspector in here. We have a new staff person in the building inspections department that has taken Jody's place. Kathleen, and she's here 3 days a week. Is that right, Nancy? I think
she
told me
she's here 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. All but Wednesday.
Tuesday through Friday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 to 2.
Right. Okay. 4 hours a day.
So, please.
She said she normally attends council meetings.
Stop.
Yeah, Kathleen.
Stop by and, you know, welcome her.
Already
I think she's going to do a great job over there.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
She is the new secretary for P&Z.
Yeah, yes. Yes, and so Nancy Hewitt and even Josie will be back a couple of times to help acclimate her. Okay?
Yep.
Anything else?
Make a motion we go into closed session for a personnel matter.
Second.
If you include that NCGS.
In accordance with North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A6.
So okay. Paragraph.
Very.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll go into the closed session.
Okay.
Nancy, yes, would you please take this?
Okay.
General?
Hello.
Make a motion we return to open session?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
So in the closed session, the council directed what's your title now, Nancy?
Town clerk.
I want to make sure I got it right? The town clerk to share survey information with the other department heads. And then direct them to review the information, and they will meet with council sometime in 2017 to discuss the information.
Early in 2017.
Sometime early in 2017, yes, ma'am. Make a motion to close.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No flies on us.
That's right.
I only got two, right? Oh.